Thank you, this is the AJ and our sister. I prayed for us. God bless you. Thank you, precious Keziah. Thank you so much. Thank God for you and your leadership. God, Father, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for your amazing mercy and grace you poured upon us. Father, we are so hungry, we are so desperate for more of you. Father, may you always increase and may we always decrease. We just want more of you and less of us. And Father, we thank you for the privilege to live in such a time as this. Open our eyes, O God, to totally, not only hear and see what you're doing, but to be totally yielded to your spirit in this hour. Thank you for your children on this line. Father, remember them in this season and just continue to empower and to bless them. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you for our sister Yvonne and those on this line, oh God, that have labored so hard this week. I just ask for more grace, more strength upon them, oh God, as they rest. And I just thank you for your strength and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Yeah, I really thank God so much for the privilege to be with my sisters and my brothers at the Wedding Women Conference. We really thank God for such a committed, dedicated vessels that have yielded themselves for God's glory in this generation. It was such a blessing to be there. And I thank God for everyone that is all the way women, and I just keep pressing in. For those of you that are on this line tonight, God bless you. Amen. I'm really excited about this season and what God is doing, and I pray you also are really excited, and I hope God is giving you testimonies to encourage you, because a lot of the things the Lord is sharing with us here is to empower us to translate things from the natural, from the spiritual to the natural, where we feel encouraged that what we're hearing is really working. So I really pray that you're being encouraged in what God is doing in your life in this season through these times of learning together. There's a little bit of static on the line, but somebody has their speaker phone on. I think if you turn it off, put it on your normal, it will be okay. All right. Thank you. Tomorrow is the 4th of July, and if you go to Philadelphia at the Memorial Independence Hall there, you will see the writings there, and it was taken from Leviticus, 25, and it talks about let's declare a year of Jubilee, and they really use the scriptures. And America celebrates now for over 200 and something years their independence from the British. And look at how far, and look at what God has done through a nation that found freedom and understand how to use that freedom to the good of humanity. I pray that as we celebrate this season, there's a statement that is made oftentimes about the independence of America, and also of the Civil War and the victory that came eventually, that the freedom we enjoy today was paid with great price. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of people died just for us to be here. And then look at the gospel. After the death of Jesus, there has been, if you look at the book of Matthew, this gospel that we are enjoying today came through the life of so many martyrs. Lots of blood has been shed to preserve this truth that we're reading today. So, sometimes I ask myself, God is not calling us to just go die, but what can we give a generation? What can we leave when we leave this world and say, I left something. My being in this world, I did not just come and just leave, but I left something for generations to come. Just like so many today in heaven left their blood mark, left so many things. Today we are still reading about Paul. Today we are still reading about Peter. Today we are still reading about so many people. So the question I ask myself, what are we going to leave? What we are learning, what we are experiencing, what kind of legacy do we leave? So I realize that we can only obey God to the level to which we believe Him. We can only obey God to the level to which we believe Him. And we can only believe God to the level to which we know Him. And we can only know God to the level to which we see Him, we experience Him. So, I want to read a few verses to you before we go deeply into the word that the Spirit of God is stirring my heart tonight. Jesus made statements like this. Mark chapter 9. He made this statement to the man that was crying out for his son. He said, Mark 9, 23. Say, if thou can only believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Then in Mark chapter 10, when the angels were appearing to the people, you know, here, and Jesus looking unto them, Jesus says, Mark 10, 27, looking unto them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. When he was talking about the difficulty of rich people entering into the kingdom. So just Mark 9, Mark 10, here Jesus emphasizing on possibilities. Nothing is impossible with God. But the key word, he kept using the word believe. Then that's Mark 9, then Mark 10, then here again Mark chapter 11:22-23, he says, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, hear the word believe again, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So we read these things, and these are direct words from the heart, from the very mouth of Jesus. So the question is, I know they always say people should turn off their phone, but somebody's already sleeping really hard on the line. These are directly from the words of the mouth of Jesus himself. You know that there is a key to everything about the kingdom of God, belief. And if you add faith plus obedience, that's belief. But the faith and obedience is belief. So that means faith has to do with something that causes you not to doubt. Something that is tangible, something that is experienced, something that is real, something that there is no way you can doubt. Then that forces you to act on that thing. So without faith, it's impossible to really please God, meaning it's impossible to obey God. So
what is faith and obedience is belief, because all things are possible to them that believe, Jesus says. So that means whatever faith is something that is has no doubt in it at all. When you have it, it forces you to obey. So I realize that the best way I always learn from the Word is He uses natural things to give me spiritual understanding. And once I understand it in the natural and it makes sense in the spirit, then I just jump into it and obey. So the Lord started reminding me and showing me something in the natural. In the natural, whatever we see, we believe. Somebody says seeing is believing. Whatever we hear, we believe. For example, I'm talking to you now on the line. There is nobody that will persuade you that I'm not the one talking to you, because you know my voice. You know? So, right now, Sister AJ led us in worship. I mean, and I heard that she sang, I know that voice. There's no way, I believe, if somebody said, did Sister AJ lead us in worship, I'll say yes. Can you give your life for it? I'll say yes. Give anything to say you really heard AJ? I will give anything. Why? Because I heard it. I know that it was her that led the worship. Amen? Okay. So, the same thing, wherever you are now in your room, wherever you are, wherever you can see with your physical eyes in your room, whether it's somebody, whether it's your television, whether wherever you are, and somebody is telling you what you are seeing in your room right now, you see it and you tell the person, I'm seeing this chair here. And the person says, move this chair to that corner. You move it to another corner. If somebody comes to you and says, do you really see the chair? Did you really move it to that corner? You tell the person, of course. There is no doubt that you see the chair, and there is no doubt that you moved it to that corner. So you can give your life for it. There is nothing anybody can do to question it. So faith has a substance and faith has experience. And when you put this substance and this experience together, that means you believe what you are seeing and hearing, and you believe what you've experienced, and when you're called to obey, you obey. So God is saying, only believe, all things are possible. If you can only believe, it's possible. And here it says, when you pray, when you're speaking to a mountain and you believe, and you don't doubt, it will move, it will obey you. So if we truly believe in the natural and we can never doubt, then, and that's the key to obeying and risking our life for anything in the natural, then there must be something that is causing us not to radically obey God, or something that is hindering us from transitioning what we say we believe into physical reality, into physical breakthrough. So how do we begin to experience this thing that God, this season that God is bringing us? Because this season is a season God is emphasizing a shift has taken place. And I'm bringing you into the reality of the kingdom of God, and I'm empowering you to begin to exercise the authority, the victory, the identity of the everything about the kingdom, for you to start enforcing it in such a way that you are experiencing victory in the physical realm. You're experiencing breakthrough, no matter how little, but you're shifting things in the physical realm towards your advantage, towards the will of God in your life. And that increases your faith. So, because of the shift that has taken place, this is the season of experience and manifestation. So how do we do that? How do we experience that? So I want to bring something to your attention. You see, in the natural, the reason why we can see in the physical is because we have natural eyes. The reason why we can feel is we have emotional natural feelings. We can touch, we can hold things, we can move things physically. And those gives us natural experience. We can hear with natural ears. So the natural man experiences natural things because of the natural senses. And you cannot doubt. The same way, in the things of the spirit, there is a natural man and there is a spiritual man. And that spiritual man, Ephesians says, as we mature, as we grow into that stature of that Christ nature in us, there are experiences we start having that will cause us to be absolutely not doubt what God is doing, what God is saying, and we are able to obey from glory to glory. So, in the book of Ephesians, there's a prayer that Paul prayed to show us that as is the natural, is also the spiritual. So I want to start with that, and then we'll go a little bit deeper in a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed a prayer, and he said from verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints." Maybe you have faith, you love people, you're good Christian, you're growing, but Paul is saying there's more. He says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, unto me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Now listen to the details of this prayer. He says, verse 18, "That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened." If you Google that, it means open or enlightened, "that you may know what is the hope of his calling." Look at the process. One, he says, "I'm praying." You are born again now. You are enjoying God. You are in church. You're doing okay. You love people. You're working for God. You're doing all these things. He says, but there is more to just being born again. "That I'm praying that God will, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of the Lord, that God will cause your spiritual eyes to mature or to be open." Because it's not like it's not open, because that's why you're born again. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you have some, you're in the kingdom already, you're born again, you're talking about the things of God. But he's not talking about that your eyes mature. See, when a little child is born, you know, we're playing with one of our friends' babies at the Wailing Women's Conference. It's just a little child. The child can see you, but he just sees you looking at you. His eyes is open, but he doesn't understand what he's seeing. But as the child grows a little bit, what the child is seeing and what the child is hearing will begin to formulate and begin to make sense. Gradually, his mind, his understanding will begin to grow. And all of a sudden, the child goes to the point, he starts putting words together, start talking, then start moving, start doing stuff. So gradually, they start matures like we are today, until the child comes to full maturity and is able to go to school and begin to put things together and grows in that level. But physically, there's a process. So Paul is saying, you are born again, you are seeing, you love God, you're doing things, but there is a maturity that comes with understanding that makes you see things in the spirit, that you understand what God is saying, you understand what you're hearing by the spirit, so that you are now translating the scriptures, the word that you read, the revelations you receive, you are now translating them to your personal identity in Christ. And you begin to believe that that's who you really are. And then you begin to operate from that understanding, that you believe that this is who you are. And then you begin to operate from that level.
So Paul put it this way, he says, my prayer for you is that your eyes open so that you gain understanding, maturity in who you are, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and that the riches of the glory of God that you have inherited, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power that is in you or in us, that we that believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. And he went on and went on and explained all this. But the prayer, the key is that our spiritual eyes, because in the natural, we don't doubt what we see. We believe it. We don't doubt what we hear physically. We believe it. And then we act. So now, that's the first scripture. Then the disciples of Jesus, Jesus spoke a lot of things to them before he went to the cross. But after he went to the cross and they were depressed, they were confused, when he rose from the dead, he appeared to them. And before he left, he started talking to them. And he rebuked them in Luke towards the end, the last chapters. He said, but these were the things I spoke to you about. About the scriptures relating to me, my life, from Psalms, from the law, from Moses, from the prophets. These are the things I told you. So Jesus told them things, they read things, but they did not understand. So Jesus, after he said that, the Bible says in that same verse, the next verse, verse 45, he says, he opened their understanding and they understood the scripture. So basically he says he opened their eyes and they saw, and the Bible says now they understood. So what does this mean? Well, how does this work? So now I want us to go again back to the Old Testament, because God uses the natural to give us understanding to the spiritual. And what I'm sharing with you is what, you know, is the food I'm eating from God's table right now. So I'm sharing with you because that's the season we are. God is demanding that we experience spiritual authority in this season. No matter the level, we should be exercising some level of spiritual authority and dominion based on where we are, who we are, and what we are doing in this season. Now, let me read a few scriptures in the Old Testament and then we explain this further. And now remember, we're talking about this season. God is focusing on the kingdom of God and the authority we have in the kingdom as we move into this season. Now, I want to read something to you from the book of 2 Kings. And for time, I will read the verses that we really need. 2 Kings chapter 2, this was a story of Elijah when he knew that God said it's time for him to come back to heaven. So 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1, yeah, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So now he went with Elijah from Gilgal. From Gilgal they went to Bethel. From Bethel they went to Jericho. And then finally when they got to Jericho, Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray you, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as I so liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went, both of them went forward. Then I'll skip the other prophets who are watching all this and hearing all this. And then let's go to verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were come over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I should do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, you see that?
again, I want you to pay attention to this. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be unto thee. Again, Elijah said, if you see, what you are about to see is the key to you walking in authority, to you walking, you obeying, you stepping by faith into this next level where God is calling you. You must see in the spirit. You must see. That will give you faith to operate, to manifest this in the physical. So it says, if you see me when I'm taken away, then it shall be so unto you. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as they still went on and taught, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and they parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now, did you hear that? He took also the mantle. Now, let me read this thing again so you hear what the Spirit is saying to you by the Spirit. He says, and it came to pass, as they still went, no, Elijah was telling, Elijah said, and he said, it says, ask whatever you will. It says, verse 10, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, okay, I've said that when I'm taken away. Now, watch what happens when he saw him. He says, and it came to pass, as they still went and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into the heavens. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the husband of Israel. Listen to what happened when he saw him. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Listen to verse 13. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. You see, whatever you see in the spirit, there is a mantle that comes with it. There's an anointing. There is a level of faith that is released, and you begin to operate at the level of what you see in the spirit. You see, that's why Paul was praying for the church of Ephesus. You have to pray for your eyes to be open, because when your eyes open, you begin to know things by the things you see. The understanding you get, you begin to know that you know that you know that this is who, and this is what, and this is that, and nobody can take it away. So that's what happened here. It's a principle. You see, Elijah gave him a condition. See, if you see, you will receive. But if you don't see, then that's it. So the Bible says Elisha saw, and a mantle came with it. So it's not just reading scriptures, not just getting revelation. What I'm saying, what the Lord is saying here, is there is a place of seeing that converts knowledge to belief. You only believe what you see. Believe means nobody can take it away, that you know that you know that this thing is happened. This thing is real. That's faith. That's where when you obey, you're not taking a risk. Some people, when they are obeying God, they think it's a risk. There is no risk in what you know that you know that you know. It's just the human minds and the people around you who think you're taking a risk. But when you are obeying God at a level where you know that you know, it's not a risk. It's a place of pleasing God. So now, That's one aspect. Now listen, you see what happened. We'll stop there because Elijah now stepped out and started operating. Now listen to what they said. Listen to another thing you need to get. I'm receiving as I'm talking to you. See what happens here. He says, and Elijah took the mantle of Elisha, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters where, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Listen to this, verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view, they were observing, people that are watching to see, but Elijah, they viewed from Jericho, they saw him. They said, listen to this, they said, and they were right prophetically, they said, the spirit of Elijah now rest on Elisha. So the thing you see when God, we're not just talking about just revelation. I'll soon, the Lord will soon put this together with the time we have. Now, what, there's a difference between knowledge, the letter of the word, and revelation. But this is now experiencing the revelation. You read the word of God, you pray the word of God, and then you start receiving revelation. Now, when you experience revelation, that you are now manifesting the nature or the character of what you are experiencing is becoming permanent in who you are as a spirit person. So, and you begin to operate in that level by faith. So, what happened here in this Old Testament? Elisha saw. And then what he saw released a mantle. And then when people saw him, they perceived by Elisha's obedience, and they said, now the spirit of Elijah now rests upon Elisha. So now let's put it this way. That means what Elisha saw, he now experienced, and that became his new season for him. He started walking in a new season because of the new experience he's had by what he saw in the spirit. Now, the other people knew Elijah was going to leave. They didn't experience anything. They had a knowledge, but they never experienced. They didn't experience something. They didn't walk in that. So that, now let's see what happens again in this, is something special about this to show you the power of revelation and obeying that revelation. What happens now? I want to read something again to you in 2 Kings, in the book of 2 Kings. This now about Elijah is now operating in his ministry. 2 Kings chapter 6. For time, what happened here is the king of Syria was at war with the king of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 8 said, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall we camp. Now for time, Elisha was releasing the secret of the war strategy of the Syrians to Israel. So they were escaping. So the king of Syria started suspecting, why is Israel aborting their plans? So somebody said, there's a prophet that is revealing these things to them. It's not a spy. There's somebody in Israel that is revealing what is happening there to the king of Israel. And the king of Syria said, let me send army to go arrest him. I want to read this to you. I want you to pay attention to this. You're about to see something amazing about the season we're in. 2 Kings, we read from verse 13. And the king said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore the king sent hither horses, that is human horses and chariots, and a great host, a great army. And they came by night, and they compassed the city about where Elisha is. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, he saw a host encompass the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? Verse 16, this really changed my life. 2 Kings 6:16, he said, and he answered, he says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. This is just a statement he made to the servant, but the servant heard it. That didn't change anything in the servants. That's, you're just quoting scriptures to me. That's scriptures. Now listen to what Elijah did. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire about Elisha. Not about any other person, around Elisha. So here's what is happening here. I just read to you an experience that Elisha had with Elijah. They crossed Jordan, and Elijah said, what you see is going to determine how you walk in the spirit. So they were walking in natural cross. You see, when you see me leave, you will get what you're looking for. But if you don't see me, it will be the same. So as they were going, the Bible says chariots and horses of fire just manifested. So Elisha saw in the spirit, and this chariot took Elijah and took off to heaven. And Elisha saw it. And when Elisha saw it, the mantle came with it, the spirit, the anointing came with it. He took it. But what comes with the anointing, what comes with the mantle, also comes with the armies of heaven that were assigned to Elijah on earth. The chariots of fire and the horses of fire also comes with that anointing. They serve that anointing. They serve the mantle. These are the angelic assignments that they serve the mantle that was upon Elijah. And so when they finished the assignment, when they finished the assignment with Elijah, please listen to this. Don't let anybody distract you. This is very, very important. When they finished the assignment with Elijah, they took Elijah to heaven. But guess what? In 2 Kings chapter 6, they did not just take Elijah to heaven. They came to maintain, to do the same assignment they had with that mantle upon Elijah. So Elisha. So now, see what happened. A physical army came to abort and to destroy and to arrest Elisha. Now, the servant of Elisha was human like every one of us. And like I said, he has 5 senses. He has physical eyes, physical ears. He came outside and he saw chariots that the king of Syria sent. He saw army. And he saw all these things around them with his physical eyes, and he heard their noises, and he was afraid. Now he came to Elisha and he said, what do we do? We're in trouble. Here is a man that has experienced something in the spirit and is walking in what he has seen in the spirit. So because he has seen it in the spirit, he's experiencing it in the spirit, now he believes it. Because all things are possible to what when you believe things with God. And when you believe things, you act on it. So Elisha now told him, he says, just relax. We have more people with us than these people you're seeing here. The servant will think, are you crazy? I'm seeing Syrian army here. Now, two people are standing together. One is looking naturally and saying, this is what I'm seeing. The other one is saying, no, I'm seeing something else. You are seeing in the natural, I am seeing in the spirit. And I'm telling you, the armies we have here are more than what you're seeing in the physical. So to settle the matter, let me bring you over to where I am standing in the spirit. God, open his eyes to see. That's just the difference. Open his eyes to see. And he opened his eyes, and Elisha's servant was in the same position Elisha was in the spirit. He had an experience, and that settled his mind. The rest, you see what Elijah did. So again, let me tell you something. Really quickly, there's so much I wanted to read to you today, especially in this season of authority. But let's go quickly and start summarizing for tonight. Now, look at a pattern in the New Testament. And all this is about revelation. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, something happened. Jesus has been raising some disciples. He had 12 of them that he really was working with. Alright? Then he had a bunch of them that were following him. So many of them experiencing when he rose from the dead. But when he said they should go before him to Galilee. And then when they got to Galilee, where Jesus breathed on them, and Jesus, as they were looking, the last people that followed him, as they were looking, Jesus ascended to heaven before them on the ascension day, the 40th day. Jesus, they were watching, and Jesus was just right into heaven. Listen to this. Jesus just went right into heaven. And two angels appeared to them and says, why are you looking at him? He will come in the same way that he left. So he said, go and wait for him and don't see him like he told you. My brothers and sisters, only 120 people, 500 people saw him in his resurrection. Thousands heard his message when he was alive. 500 entered, they saw him in the new season. It was a new season. He's risen from the dead. This is the time now for them to enter a new season. They saw him, they heard him. But now 120 believed what they saw when he was. When they saw him ascended, they obeyed and they went to the upper room. And when they went to the upper room, guess what? The very spirit that was upon Jesus came upon them. You see, what Elisha saw when others were observing from a distance, Elisha saw Elijah leave. The mantle, the spirit that was upon Elijah came upon Elisha. And the angels that operated around Elijah eventually followed Elisha when they saw him leave. The same thing, the people that saw Jesus leave went to Jerusalem to pray, and because they obeyed what Jesus said to wait for the promise, don't leave, the same spirit that was upon Jesus came upon them in the upper room, and they stepped out and they became the recipients of the next mantle to carry that movement to the next season, just like Elisha carried the mantle to the next season. So, and all had to do with what they saw. The ability to see. Now, how does that work with scriptures? Because you say, we don't have to be seeing vision. We don't need vision. That the most powerful ability to see is through scriptures. The scripture. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. So, the revelation, when we receive revelation from scriptures, that's the most powerful vision you can ever have. That's a vision that Satan cannot take away, because people can have all kinds of visions and dreams. You have to make sure you measure it with scriptures. But when you have revelation that is scriptural, that is Bible based, and you experience that revelation, you start walking in it. Nobody can take it away. Really quickly, one scripture that I want to share with you that Elisha manifested and experienced is seen in Psalms chapter 34 verse 7. Psalms 34 verse 7 says, the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him, and they deliver them. This is what God promised by the word of the Lord to David in the book of Psalms. So this is the word of the Lord. We don't need, you don't need to be saying, oh, I don't see vision, I don't see this, I don't. No, the most powerful vision you can ever have is scriptures. So when this scripture was spoken, Elijah lived in it, and Elisha experienced it. This scripture I just read to you was not head knowledge, was no more revelation to Elisha. It was a reality. It was something that was tangible to Elisha, and he lived in it because he not only saw it in the spirit, he experienced the reality of the scripture. This scripture can never lie, it can never deny itself, because God said it. If you have a fear of God, this scripture will work for you. But why is it that all of us don't believe it? Because we have not seen it enough to the level to which it becomes a reality to us. So this one scripture, just like Elisha experienced it, there are many scriptures in the Bible. Jesus says, if we only believe, those scriptures will become a reality for us. Nothing shall be impossible. So that's why in this season we are in, the authority of the believer is based on the word of God. It's not just the word of God, but the spirit of the word. What do I mean by the spirit of the word? When we experience a scripture, then we have authority in that scripture, and we exercise authority in that area of the scripture in our life and in the things of the spirit. So that's the season we are in. That's how we're going to be transitioning things from the natural, from the spiritual to the natural. Let me stop here because of time. And one way, just to conclusion, if you see, for so many years Abraham was not experiencing breakthrough in the wife giving birth, but there was an experience Abraham had. That place where God changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, that's an experience. What was that experience? It was a revelation of Abraham's new identity. And when he understood that, experienced that, God says, started calling those things that be not as though they were, immediately breakthrough came to Sarah in the natural, and things started changing. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And by God's grace, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is going to encounter you in such a way that these words will be translated to reality in your life, and you start seeing a place of authority and dominion and experiencing breakthrough into the physical realm by the grace of God. Amen. Thank you so much for coming tonight. God bless you.